Welcome to another edition of our short-form Patreon Mostly series about flowers you may find blooming around you right now, or can learn about to know next time they're in bloom. Who's in bloom? I'm your co-host of the Science Witch podcast, Angel, and for this episode, I'm going to clap back about clematis. When I first saw clematis, I was immediately struck by how large, colorful, and strange these flowers can be. Some of them don't even look like flowers, but sea creatures, and they can range from a variety of colors and patterns. Depending on the variety, you can have clematis blooming anywhere from early spring all the way through late summer and even into fall. So having a variety of clematis can keep your garden in bloom all season. Clematis is a vine with species that are both deciduous and evergreen. Clematis species is a member of Ranunculaceae family, which also includes buttercups and anemones. There are over 300 species of clematis, and they vary in size from small climbers to large shrubs. Clematis flowers are typically white, pink, or blue, and they can be single or double. Clematis is a hardy, long-lived perennial that can be planted in just about any garden. It can be grown in a variety of climates and is tolerant of a wide range of soil conditions. Clematis have long been said to prefer their heads in the sun and feet in the shade, meaning the vegetative parts of the plant need to have full sun, but the roots need to be in the shade. To grow their best, most vines will need at least 6 hours of sunlight each day, but with most of the sun in the morning and getting shade in the afternoon, especially in the warmer climates. Mulching or planting ground cover around the roots can also help to keep the roots cool in hotter parts of the day. Clematis require slightly acidic soils with a preference for 6.5 soil pH, but will tolerate soils close to neutral around 7. When planted, clematis requires increased soil moisture and will require watering at least an inch a week. This can be decreased once the plant is established. For fertilizer, clematis prefers a low nitrogen fertilizer such as a 5-10-10, but you can also use a combination of compost in the spring or a rose fertilizer for later feedings. Feed the plants 3 times during the growing season to encourage plants to produce blooms. Because of its vining habit, it is important to establish clematis on a trellis or pole that can support its growth. Depending on the variety, some larger species may require an arbor, while the dwarf varieties will happily grow up a pole. Clematis is also easy to propagate through cuttings, though cuttings will require a lag time of 1 to 2 years before they start producing blooms. To propagate clematis, remove a 6-inch stem from the tip from a healthy new vine, cutting just below the leaf node, making sure that there are no visible signs of disease or any flower buds. The best time to take the cuttings is in late spring, early summer, when the new growth has just emerged. Remove all but the top 2 leaves, fill a small 4-inch pot with potting mix, and use water to moisten. Use a stick to make a hole in the soil. Dip the end of the stem in some rooting hormone powder. Plant the cutting in the hole, keeping the leaves above the soil line. Tent a plastic bag over the pot to hold in moisture. Put the cuttings in a warm place with bright indirect light. Monitor the cuttings to ensure that the soil remains evenly moist. After a month, check to see if the roots have formed by giving the stems a little tug, and if you meet resistance, can be transported into a large container and hardened off to be transplanted outdoors. Clematis is also relatively pest and disease-free, but can be susceptible to a foliar disease, clematis wilt, which is caused by a fungus. If you happen to notice blackened stems or leaves, the plant, or the plant is wilting despite being watered, remove the infected parts of the plant and dispose of them in the trash. Clematis is also susceptible to aphids and spider mites, but these are less of an issue if the plant is in a sunny garden with ample diversity of beneficial insects. Clematis is toxic to both animals and people and should not be planted in areas accessible to pets, young children, or livestock. Also, it's important to wear gloves when handling clematis as it can cause skin irritation. Clematis is associated with a number of magical correspondences. It is said to be a flower of the moon and is associated with the element of water. Clematis is also associated with the goddess Venus and Aphrodite. It is said to be a flower of love, passion, and fertility. One of my favorite pastimes is visiting gardens that specialize in a particular flower. These are the places that I will often learn the most about the plant that I am interested in. The Rogerson Clematis Garden, located in Westland, Oregon, is free to visit and park from dawn until dusk, and boasts an extensive collection of clematis varieties with more than 2,300 individual clematis representing 946 taxa on display. Started by Bruson Rogerson in 1971, the Rogerson Clematis Garden has one of the largest collections of clematis plants in North America and contains a variety that are hybrids and historic cultivars. Rogerson started collecting clematis when he was still a professor at Kansas State University and was one of the founding members of the International Clematis Society, formed in 1984, and has become one of the leading world experts on the plant. The garden is now managed by a board of directors, the Friends of the Rogerson Clematis Garden, which is headquartered in Lake Oswego, where the display garden is located. Rogerson passed away at age 94 in 2015, but his legacy and the love of clematis continues. If you happen to be in the area during the bloom season, I highly recommend touring the garden and perusing the different varieties of this flowering vine found throughout the property. Thank you for listening to this episode of Who's in Bloom. If you enjoyed this short-form podcast and want to listen to more bonus episodes like this, please consider joining our Patreon, where you can access more episodes of Who's in Bloom, as well as our other bonus series, Tripping Through the Tarot and DD Deep Dives. Supporting us on Patreon helps us to continue to make this podcast. Thank you for listening, and until next time, don't forget to stop and adore the flowers.